Grace, peace, and excitement are yours, dear Christian, through Christ our Savior. God's word for us this afternoon from 1 John chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. And this is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Lord, guide us in truth. Your word is truth. Once again, the season of lights and sights is upon us. We see it in our own sanctuary, and as the frost settles in so nicely upon our windows, we can see it in our neighborhoods. An explosion of lights and colors that really are joyful. And it's even fun that we can see the lights and sights in the hands of children as well. When I was younger, we had low-tech toys, not these beep-beep-beep things. We used to enjoy the lights and sights of this season through a thing called a kaleidoscope. Some of you young ones might not know what that is, so let me explain. It's a toy that has stained glass in it, or stained plastic. And as you spin the saucer and look through, an explosion of color happens. Different shapes are flying before your eyes at different speeds, and it's really cool. Or at least it was to me. And what's kind of fun is that in some of those kaleidoscopes, you could actually see through the glass and see the recognize an object beyond. So if you pointed it at a chair and spun the spinner thing, that's the technical term, you could see a shape of chairs flying before your eyes. An explosion of chair pieces, but when you pulled the kaleidoscope down, nothing had really happened. The chair was still the chair. You just were fooled by what the kaleidoscope and the colored glass showed you. Nothing truly spectacular had happened. Our theme for Advent this year is the eyes of the Savior. And tonight we're going to look at how he saw. And it's my prayer that we will see that he saw with eyes of life. He saw how things really were. And he saw how he would really make them. Now, it sounds kind of a simple thing to say, see things as they really are. There are a lot of people who claim that they always see things perfectly clear. But there are also other people that are sometimes accused of having on rose-colored glasses. Now, once again, this might be a phrase that some of you are not familiar with, but it's very similar to what a kaleidoscope does. It's having glasses on that are shaded pink. Now, to some people, that might sound fun, but it changes the way that you see things. And people who are said to have on rose-colored glasses, they're the kind of people who are eternally happy. There's always something good going on. They're extremely joyful. They look at life and it's all roses and butterflies. And usually, when somebody is called out on having rose-colored glasses, it's not a compliment. Which doesn't really make sense, because while looking in the mirror with rose-colored glasses, man, everything is great. Everything's happy and full of love. It's all pink and happy and healthy. You get a positive self-image. You get full of self-love, and when you're full of self-love, that makes you a love-filled person, right? At least they think that's love. But it's really just a mirage. Because at some point, the glasses come off. And instead of a rosy complexion, really the truth comes out. A face that through the rose-colored glasses was lush and full of life is shown worn and wrinkled. Eyes that were so clear and bright, lined and barely open. When the true picture is revealed, it doesn't look anything at all like what was seen through the colored view. It really isn't an optimistic view. And this is why you can see that it's not exactly a compliment. Because when you have a false image of things and suddenly the truth comes to light, it's like accidentally flipping from the normal mirror to the ultra-magnified side on a vanity mirror. Ooh! Kind of shocking. Do I really look like that? Am I really this unhealthy? And even the people who claim to see things oh so clearly, when their sin is brought to their attention, they can be shocked. Now I ask you, which is the loving view? The rose glass, which shows vitality and happiness, or the clear picture, which shows sickness and need? Now, we're sitting in church, so likely you're going to be thinking, the one that shows the truth, right? Well, yes. Is that the answer that we give at home? Is that the answer that we foster in our hearts? Sin has distorted our view of everything. It has made us, even in our moments of piety, less than what we should be. We think about our relationship with God and we say, I love God. I go to church, I donate to charity, I take care of the church, and I do these things because I love God. Great! God takes your work and uses that for the best that it can possibly be used for. But what was the common theme in all of those statements before? I. Me. We frame love in an idea of what we do, of how we act. We see ourselves with rosy glasses. But miss that oh so important fact that true love is not that we love God, but that He loved us. He came to this earth in a less than perfect setting with less than perfect people and set about making things right because He knew that we were less than perfect. He knew the truth of our situation. He saw it clearly. He watched as the people turned away in the time of Noah. He watched as the kings of Judah and Israel fell away and took countless others with them. And he saw it today. As you drove to work and got angry at the poor drivers on the road, he saw today as you went to school and struggled with the problems of youth. He sees it all. He sees it as it really is, in an honest view, in a loving view. And the honest, loving view is that we are a sinful people in real need. We cannot come to Him. Our sin separates us from God. So love cannot be us going to Him because we can't do it. And seeing this, and knowing this, God came to us. This is love. That the author of life sees that his creation is lacking life, and so comes bringing it. This is the most perfect example of what love is. God saw clearly the poor state of mankind, that we were enemies of God and that we were dead. And instead of walking away and leaving us to that fate, He came because He saw what He would make us. Now, there's a commercial that's showing occasionally on the HGTV channel, probably the DIY channel, which stands for Do It Yourself. Some of you probably watch these channels. They're a staple in my house. And in this ad, there's a couple sitting on the couch watching HGTV, naturally, and getting wonderful ideas about what they're going to do to their house. And finally, they stand up and they put on their tools and put their goggles on and get to work, get dirty. When the next scene shows this exhausted young couple falling onto the couch and turning on the TV and getting excited for that next project. Well, the professionals are finishing up what they couldn't do. There's a difference between just seeing a problem and actually taking care of the thing. And this is not how God showed His love to us. Not leaving us wondering if the work would be done or if it could be done, but coming and doing exactly what He set out to do. The idea is less this commercial and more Fixer Upper, which is another HGTV channel show. I told you it was a staple. But Fixer Upper is about this married couple in Texas who work together in home remodeling. They meet a client, they help them purchase the house, and then they set about laying a design for this house as to how it will be made exactly right for those people. And the rest of the show is them setting about the work and having their troubles and ups and downs, but following through on their plan as best they can. This is where the amazing transformations happen. Sometimes the final home looks nothing like the original purchase, but exactly like the plan. Romans tells us, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And John says, He sent His one and only Son into the world that we might live through Him. That's the plan. That is what God saw so clearly and set about doing. We were dead in sin, yet He loved us and brought us life. Dear Christian, I hope you see yourself here. Take off your rose-colored glasses and look. You are in need. You are in trouble. And left to our natural state, you are dead in sin, but God sees you. God knows you as you truly are, and He sees you as He makes you to be. He shows you love and brings you life. Just like the designs of home remodeling can make the dwelling unrecognizable from what it was, Christ makes our new life unrecognizable from what we were. Where we were separated from God, now we are adopted. Where we were starving for truth, we are now well fed on what God has done and how He loves us. Where we were dying, we have the life that He saw for us. In Christ, there is a spectacular change. And here's where the excitement comes in. Because the season of Advent is about looking. This is when we sit down and unfold the Scriptures and see again this design. We look with wonder as God on high can know us so completely, the hurts and sins that we keep hidden so well He knows. Yet He sees them as the opportunity for His love to shine in our lives. And we scour His Word and find that He lays out a perfect and simple plan to make us alive again. And now we watch as He sets about this work, clearly seeing what He came to do. He sees life. He sees it for you. He told us that is why He came. He said, "I have come that you may have life and have it to the full." He came for you to have life to the fullest. He sees that life in you. And in His death and His resurrection, He makes that life yours. He gives it freely. That is love. Get excited. Love and life are yours. You see it in the eyes of the coming Savior. Amen.